And welcome back. So we took a quick pause. Bleh, words are hard. But we were talking about, hey, using caution sometimes when it comes to misplacing a mentor and someone who is a discipler or a spiritual leader in your life. Reason being is when we misplace this very specific role, you can end up having someone that's a mentor depositing into you spiritually, where you may just need more of a discipler that is depositing into you spiritually, and a mentor that's helping you from maybe a business savvy standpoint or a secular standpoint in your career. They're where you want to be, and you just want to model that, but you got to eat the meat, spit out the bones. So Morgana, you want to jump back in there with us?
Yeah, I'm here with you.
No worries. But you had, right?
Yeah, I'm going to make sure my connection is 100% too. Oh, okay, yeah. That could be what's draining the...
much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so you want me to go ahead and say, okay, yeah. I really, one of the verses that stood out to me and that's pretty well known as well is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And so I as you were talking about just disciples, a lot of times the main reason that it's good to have a spiritual leader in your life, a spiritual mentor, is to help you become that discipler as well. Because we are all disciples of Christ. We are supposed to be out here discipling other people as well. And so it's good to have that discipleship over you so you can help others as well that are under you too, that are seeking it out, but maybe not to your level yet. And then it's, you know, the way around. So I'll tell you right now, my spiritual leader has a spiritual leader. And my spiritual leader has a spiritual leader. Like, we all need it. We all need it. And that's what I love about my spiritual leader, is that she also has someone speaking life into her as well. So she can do the same for me and I can do the same for others. And it's something that you continuously pass on. Matter of fact, we were, before we even came on to here, we were just talking about the discipleship program or like a course that you had sent to me before. And I was just like, man, that is just so helpful. And the key of it is to go out and help others become disciples at the end of your discipleship with that course. So very encouraging that I've seen. So I know that we just spoke about what a mentor is, and then we went from the different types of mentor. And then, of course, we spoke about discipleship, of having a spiritual leader in your life and how important that is. Because I feel like a spiritual leader kind of covers maybe everything that you're probably going through in your life. They may not be able to always give it to you like your business or your business mentor, your boss might can give it to you, but they are being led also by Christ. And one thing I know about God is that he is not a God of confusion, and he don't lie. Period. Do you want to hear from your boss's opinion? Do you want to hear from your coach's opinion? Or do you want to hear it from the Lord?
Okay. I mean,
you know what I'm saying? So, I think that's why it's so important to have a spiritual mentor in your life. It's not the fact that it's bad to have the other types of mentors in different seasons that you might be in your life. That's not the thing. But I think it's very helpful to have them and have your spiritual mentor to make sure you stay keeping toes down in the Holy Spirit.
Not in the water. No,
you got to tend to your thing.
No, No, but you're on it because the way I look at it, right, has been, and the way it's been taught to me in the last few years, and I really affirm that, is we're not being discipled just to be discipled. We're being discipled to make disciples. And even the program mm-hmm. he's talking about, in that program, it talks about how, you know, if you were, instead of trying to disciple everybody in your neighborhood, you really focused on three people. And you really poured into them with the hopes and telling them repetitively, hey, I want you to pour into other people. It said literally like in maybe 30 years or so, everybody in the world would be discipled if we were diligent in that way. And, but I think the thing I've been learning recently too is we have to use caution in building mm-hmm. discipleship networks just to say I discipled someone, because it should be a lifelong thing. As you've been saying, mm-hmm. and we should not be running on empty, because we should also be being poured into, not just pouring mm-hmm. into someone to move on to the next person. If someone's coming alongside you and you finish some discipleship platform and then y'all never get together again, you failed. I'm just going to be honest. And if this rubs anyone, hey, I'm sorry. That's just honesty. If you're mm-hmm. going relationship with someone just to take them through some type of program and check off the box, you've also failed. Hey, if you're mad about it, please email realgod4realpeople@gmail.com. Yeah. For one reason, discipleship in the way that it's explained in the gospel, Jesus only had 3 years, but he spent days and months and years with those 12, because he knew when he left, the mission needed to go on to the churches. That is where the essence of mm-hmm. discipleship comes from. And he was being poured into because he was connected to the Trinity, right? So for us, understanding discipleship isn't just a one way where I'm pouring into you and you just sit here and listen to me. No, for us aren't Christ, we're pouring into one another. Now, there may be the person that's discipling you that's a little further along, but if the person further along can't learn from you, they've probably missed the mark somewhere too, right? Mm-hmm. Now, they don't have to tell you, oh man, that was wise, but they should be ingesting, man, I remember when I had that perspective, and man, when did I lose that perspective? You know what? This is edifying for me too. But I think what we see in a lot of spaces is, hey, I'm the discipler and you're the student. And what we end up doing sometimes when we do that is we don't actually equip the student to then become the teacher. And change is lost. If you're discipling someone, and by the end of you discipling them, their answer is, oh man, I can't do that. I'm not blaming you as a teacher, but you should have taken time before you spent time with them and let them know the accountability is, I want to hear who you're discipling and how that's going, because the role changes from more of a discipler to more of a coach and more of a spiritual leader or mentor. And so, yeah, you may not see each other every day, but you should be still getting together routinely throughout the year.
Right? Yeah.
That's what discipleship does. It opens our heart to like live life. If you're discipling someone and they don't know what's going on with you, just because you're the discipler, you're not doing something right. Because there should be no way, if they're being vulnerable with you, that you also aren't being vulnerable with them. Now, once again, there's a phrase we say a lot of times, you can be vulnerable without being naked with them.
Yeah.
You should still be living life with one another.
Yeah.
I love hearing about how I know people are being fed into, and you know, they're feeding me. A lot of the time frames in smaller churches or churches with this discipleship pastor network, no one's pouring into that guy. And so he's running on an empty tank. And then the whole pressure of discipleship within the local church context moves on to one person. And it was never one person's job. If you have just a discipleship pastor, guys, you should be concerned, because everyone should be discipling. You just now put the whole responsibility of discipleship in your church on one person.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually not biblical. Let's be 100 about this. But if you are equipping people to make disciples, and then you're keeping up with these discipleship relationships, you'll actually see leaders coming out of that, right? Because you build a phrase I used a lot, relationship capital with people. Now, there is a such thing as manipulating that capital. And that could be a whole nother thought. And what you've deposited into them to see what you can get out of them. This now, and my pastor was telling me about this, this is a transactional discipleship. That's horrible. And it's probably unbiblical. Mm-hmm. And it's probably going to be held accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As deacons used to say. But if you are depositing into them expecting nothing back and you see a return on the seed that you planted, that is biblical.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm. You know? And let me tell you something, because there is a verse that literally talks about what you were just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let me see here. Let me see if I can find it. Okay. So from Luke chapter 6, verses 40, and I was hoping that we would kind of lead into this as well. Yep. It says, yeah, verse 40, it says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And so, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. So that teacher is teaching that person how to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm. And if they come
to be a teacher,
not being a teacher, you should be concerned. Because at the end of the day, like there's an analogy that was in school that I used to love. It's by a fisherman, right? And so at his fisherman's conference every year, and all of the fishermen, quote unquote, come to the conference, but all of the people who come to the conference never catch anything. And an actual professional fisherman shows up at the conference, and they're all telling their stories, and then he tells his most recent actual story, not something from 20 years ago. And now everybody's all drawn in, trying to understand, well, what did you do? What kind of bait did you use? What kind of fishing line did you use? What hook did you use? And he's like, hey, man. He pauses for a second. Hey, man. When's the last time y'all been out on a boat or on a bank or a pier or something and actually caught anything? Well, you know, I'm so busy, you know, coming to these conferences. And he's like, so is this a fisherman's conference or are we oh, okay. All right. Cool. But it's an analogy.
No.
When it comes to evangelism and then when it comes to discipleship, are we just talking about it or are we actually doing it? You know, and if we're not, hey, there's grace. No one's pinning you to the cross. How about you go out and try to do it? It might be helpful, you know, just a little bit for the kingdom. But
are you applying what you're teaching to your life? Mm-hmm. Are you applying those things to your life? And I'm gonna be honest with you, it was hard for me to feel safe or just trust anyone, because in the beginning, I'm gonna watch your life. I'm gonna observe what you do on a day-to-day basis. Like we were talking about before, you don't just trust anybody with your secrets or, you know, what you're struggling with. You ain't got to tell the whole world. You ain't got to, like you said, get naked. Okay. You can be vulnerable, but you ain't got to what? So we're talking spiritually. We're talking in the spiritual realm. We ain't talking anything crazy. But I'm just saying, like, you really have to make sure you can trust that person. And I prayed to the Lord about my mentor before making any decisions, and asking her to because she had already been my discipler before and still was. But I wasn't making an intentional effort for us to have a sit down where I was allowing her to really disciple me. You know, we went through a disciple course, but then we were done with that. And I was like, you know, whatever. And I was like, oh no, I need this daily or weekly. Mm-hmm. Like I need help. It's not something that you just stop and then you got it the rest of the way. No, baby, this is a lifetime deal. It was, and I understand that, you know, with some people they end up moving or whatnot, but you always want to make sure though you have a spiritual leader. That a lot of the younger generation says spiritual mom and dad, you know, spiritual parents, or whatnot. So that's what I know what they're calling it now. So if you guys don't understand what we're talking about, spiritual parents, get you some spiritual parents.
That's not even 100% new. The charismatic church has been using that much longer than the young kids.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of how say, you know, you have people who were like a spiritual father. And, you know, I've been listening recently to a podcast where Priscilla Schreier and her husband was on it, and they have within their marriage spiritual mentor, and she lives in how they set up their marriage. They would submit to these folks, and he would basically say if he gave Priscilla's husband a directive, and they were telling the story about how he did, you couldn't just say, hey man, I'm busy. He's like, no. He gave Priscilla's husband a directive to come see him, get a flight.
Yeah.
And this man was like, nah, I'm good. He was like, no, you need to come see me. He did it clean, like, too. He's like, no, I'm okay. I'm going home. And he was like, her husband's a military kid. He's like, yeah, this is a directive, ain't it? He's like, yeah. And to a generation that don't like being told what to do, I immediately was like, you know what? I did grow up in that. To a degree that I even had to learn at places I was at, hey, is this a directive? Because I do see you as a spiritual leader over my life. Or is this a suggestion? Understand the authority you have in my life. Don't misuse it.
Yeah.
Understand.
Yeah.
If it's a directive, I'm not going to ask no questions. But if this is a suggestion, you got to be clear. And I remember the person over me was confused. And I was like, maybe it's a cultural thing. But I'm trying to let you know how much authority you have so that you don't miss it. Right?
Yeah. No, I was just going to agree with you and just saying that's how important it is to choose wisely. Don't get crazy about it and just don't trust nobody, but pray about it. Literally be intentional about praying for the mentor, for the spiritual leader to come into your life, because I did. And I prayed for it, but it was somebody that I knew. So I was like, nah, you know what I'm saying? You think, oh, well, I've been knowing them for a while. And
you ain't praying for, you find yourself, you wishing you did. Because the only thing what people realize is you're allowing a broken person that makes mistakes, just like you, speak into your life. Make sure you understand fully that person's intention in your life. Right? Back to that transactional or relational. Have they been making relational deposits with no benefit to them, right? Before you even came to this conversation about discipleship and or mentorship. Because I've seen it in the workforce. I worked in corporate for about 8 years, and I'm back in corporate for a little while right now. Right? Mm-hmm. And I still have a mentor from when I was 23. I am now 33. And I went all the way back to Charleston, South Carolina, and we caught up like I had missed a beat. Because some mentor geography doesn't even separate you in that way, right?
There you go. That's what I'm saying. We have now,
right?
But
I'm with you. I'm with you.
They basically do everything online anyway, so I mean, you might as well have your spiritual leader still on the line. Jesus on the main line, telling us what you.
But no, because I had to learn. I had an opportunity where there were a few people who were willing to seed into my life from a discipleship standpoint. And I could see some flags. And I was like, yeah, thank you so much. I'm going to go this direction. It wasn't popular, but I knew it was the right call. Looking back, I don't regret it. Because I can see now what I didn't fully know then, but I had enough discernment to be like, there's something there, and there's a danger and a character trait in you seeding into my life. So I have to put like a boundary.
We need to talk about that too, just a little bit. I don't want to get off too off topic. I don't want to talk about nobody and all that stuff, but I love that you brought that.
That.
No, I love that.
Pause real quick, and we're gonna jump back into that. All right, y'all.